Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds.
Technology, storytelling, and communications. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our dear moderator, Julia Gifford. Welcome.
Thank you, everyone.
Julia, take it away.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for joining us. We're here talking about defending the digital fortress against the most modern day attacks. And we've heard a panel just now on quantum technologies, and that's certainly something that we are concerned about and we will also be discussing today, among other things. But we have a room that might not be filled by quantum experts, but we do have a room filled with industry experts who very possibly are also responsible for handling vast amounts of often sensitive data. And they certainly would be interested, I imagine, about hearing about how to defend ourselves and set ourselves up best for this future or present reality of security and data center security. And especially as these technologies advance, and we will discuss this. And today we are joined by our fantastic panel, and here I have Gianpaolo Panariello, CTO of Network Infrastructure at Nokia. A round of applause for Gianpaolo. Dimitris Nikitin, CTO of TET. And Stefan Luder, CISO at CERN. So a round of applause for you guys. So I want to kick this off by asking Dimitris, so as the CTO of a major telecoms organization, are you concerned about Q-Day, which is the day when quantum, cryptographically relevant quantum computers are going to be able to go through all of our security and safety measures? Dimitris, are you concerned?
Kind of. So those are not immediate concerns. We see that at the moment the development of quantum computers is not there. From time to time we see that news that, for example, a couple of weeks ago we've seen that one of Chinese universities has reported that they have cracked RCA 50-bit algorithm with the D-Wave device of 500 qubits. However, if we look closer at the statement, this RCA algorithm is really old and outdated. It's not being used in modern systems. Modern systems use RCA 2048 bits, and in order to crack that algorithm, you need the devices which contain like millions of working qubits. So we see that the range which is required to crack modern algorithms is pretty far away. However, as the CTO of the company, you are not getting paid only for ensuring that the systems run smoothly and stably today. You are being paid also for forecasting what is lurking ahead. So what are the dangers which might come in the next years? And the quantum threat is pretty serious, I guess, in the upcoming years. And at the moment, it's hard to forecast when it will arrive. We've seen with the example of AI that we had quite stiff AI algorithms till 2022. And after that, we had like a big bang with different AI applications. The same might happen with the quantum technologies, because a lot of companies are working in this field. Google, Microsoft, huge technology leaders are working in the quantum field. State universities, state-backed programs are working, and we know that state-sponsored terrorism or cyber espionage is a thing right now on the market, so they have their own interests there. So the leap in the quantum technology might happen in the next few years, so we have to get ready for that, and that's why we have to think about what are the means to protect ourselves. One of the concerning factors is that the data which contains the criticality over the years, for example, the health data, genome, or financial data, or military data, can be intercepted now and stored for later. And when the quantum technology comes, it can be decrypted and used for bad purposes. So, at the moment, immediate threat is not there, but we have to account that in the future it's there, and we have to act and find the solutions how we can safeguard our infrastructure for us as an infrastructure service provider and a holder of the critical infrastructure. So basically we serve majority of the financial institutions, majority of the health providers, and for us it's important to safeguard ourselves and provide means to safeguard our customers.
Thank you. And then a question for Gianpaolo. Are you seeing that threats already impacting the network security space?
So let's say that up to now there are no clue that a quantum computer able to break the asymmetric cryptography is on the market. There is a lot of hype on the market, on the internet, and also a lot of confusion. Just mentioned the famous article from the Chinese academia, and someone on the internet, on the media, made confusion between 50 and 2054, 58. That is something quite different. So say that we don't have clue, there are two buts. First but, if someone has a quantum computer able to break the asymmetric cryptography, will not write on the internet, will not publish, will start to steal your data, your secret data, of course. And you will discover only when this already happened. This is the first but. The second but, already mentioned, harvest now, decrypt later. We have proof that some cyber criminal entities are storing data. And then they will be able to decrypt this data as soon as quantum computer able to decrypt asymmetric cryptography will be available. So what we are doing, what we are suggesting, we are already producing a solution quantum safe since 5 years. Because 5 years ago, some of our customers come to us and say, hey, have you got a solution for this? So what do we suggest? If you have secret data, if you have data that have to remain secret for many years, please implement now solution quantum safe.
And that would prevent the harvesting now aspect.
Of course, we'll prevent the two buts that I said before.
Yeah, great. And Stefan, I'm curious to know your perspective. How are you feeling about the threat of quantum on our security infrastructure?
I like to just quote the Gartner hype curve. So I'm following those discussions since 20 years. So we can take the same thing, digital fortress, network security, data encryption, and IoT. Fortress, network security, data encryption, and large language models, supply chain, and nowadays the hype is with quantum safe technologies. So personally, for my computer center, I worry less, despite the fact that we're storing lots and lots of data. We're storing about an exabyte in our computer center at this very moment. I'm less concerned because that is mostly public data, so I'm not concerned there. On the other hand, we should be really clear about the terminology and the words we're using. So first, some people yesterday said post-quantum computing. There is no post-quantum computing in our lifetimes. We are now moving from computing into quantum computing. And post-quantum computing, that would be interesting what it is after quantum computing. But there is the question of post-quantum cryptology. So what is, and Gianpaolo said it, what is at risk? Which part of data is at risk? If you encrypt your data symmetrically, quantum computers, for the moment, by theory, is not expected that thing can break symmetric encryption. We're talking about breaking asymmetric encryption. For those who do not know what the difference is, asymmetric encryption is just based on the fact that multiplying two prime numbers is very simple. 3 times 7 is 21. But who can tell me quickly which two prime numbers are the constituents of 221? It's very complicated, and that is where quantum technology comes in. Quantum technology can solve this more or less on the blink, and that makes the risk for asymmetric encryption a risk. So data stored in my data center, if it's asymmetrically stored and not leaving my data center, is absolutely secure also against future technologies. Once it's coming in transit, then of course it's getting interesting. While it's encrypted in transit symmetrically, at least the initial exchange of the key is asymmetrically. And this is then where store and break later is the risk which we are coming in. And this is where I'm getting interested to see what would be solutions for us to protect our inter-data center communication in the future. For the moment, on a daily business, I'm not worried at all. As you said, we do not know what the horizon of quantum, real quantum computers with the power is. For the moment, it is small, but Moore's law started also small, and the transistors were, in nowadays view, rather stupid, and nowadays we are at the top end of Moore's law, and we cannot do better, so quantum kicks in. So I'm open, and I'm technologically open.
Mm-hmm. Gianpaolo, I see you shaking your head.
I fully agree with you that Grover Argonaut says that symmetric encryption is secure, actually. What we are referring when we say the data are under risk are the data that are protected, for example, data in flight with asymmetric technology. And if we consider, for example, the backhauling of mobile network, there are suggestions from 3GPP to use IPsec. IPsec is an asymmetric technology, but many operators are not neither protecting this backhauling with the IPsec. So, double risk. If you don't protect, you are giving your data in the hand of whoever wants to take it. Second, if you are using IPsec, IPsec can be open because it's an asymmetric technology. So, what do we suggest? And the solution that we developed 5 years ago, and again, a lot of customers, we have more than 50 customers in that are using this solution, is based on a symmetric technology. Maybe I will explain later, using a pre-share key on pre-authenticated channel.
Pre-shared means you need to exchange your key via some other means which is secure enough. So you have to come up with a mechanism to do this. So
we developed this. Okay, maybe we can discuss.
No, I would love to hear more, because I'm sure that what we in this room are looking for are these, okay, so what now? What they leave this room and they go back to their organizations and they say, hey, I heard this panel, we have to do this. What is this?
Well, very simple. We developed a server that is a manager for the key that is generating the key based on classic physics, so high entropy, and is distributing the key on pre-share key. What means pre-share key? These are links that are again based on symmetric key authentication, but the quantity of data that are going through this link is very low, let's say in the order of bits, because we are exchanging just key. So in this case, the key rotation, the crypto period, is in the order of 200 days. So every 200 days, we can go there and change the key, while the crypto rotation at the user plane level is in the order of 2 minutes. So every 2 minutes, we are able to generate a new key based on classic physics, so high entropy, and distribute on this pre-authenticated link to the encryptors. And this is a solution that is standardized ANSI, NATO restricted, common criteria level 4. And more than 50 customers are already taking benefit of this kind of solution. And they come to us asking a solution, eh? Mm-hmm. Was not us.
Okay, so then this is a solution that's based on demand. But I'm curious for Dmitry, how do you prepare for something that you don't know when is coming or how it is coming? How are you guys looking at the same topic?
Well, if we are talking about the security, so the immediate concern for us is what's going on around. So Even if we have the quantum computers somewhere ahead of us, no one cancels the immediate threats like DDoS attacks and some phishings and so on. And that's the, as for us as a data center infrastructure providers, that's the immediate concern. So we have to ensure that everything is working right now. So training employees, implementing the solutions which are safeguarding the data centers right now. As for the future, we are looking for the new direction, and as already mentioned, there are some mechanisms like quantum key distribution systems which can safeguard the point-to-point transactions between two servers or data centers if you are transferring the very sensitive information, and we are working to test that out, understand how we can help our customers. We at the moment we've started the tests with the health industry to show them how it works, to understand what are their needs, to create the proof of concept, and because this is the new technology which is still being tested. So I've heard that someone mentioned that it's already on the market, but it's already on the market in a proof of concept stage. So we have no standards at the moment which regulate this industry, and we do not know the possibilities of this technology till the full extent. So what all the players in Europe are doing right now, they are trying to experiment, understand what are the bonding concerns about this technology, what are the possibilities, and communicate with the vendors to adjust technology to their needs. The second one is the post-quantum cryptography, which is being mentioned. So we are looking at this direction as well. And if we are looking at the future and quantum computer era, then I think that the mechanisms how we can safeguard our infrastructure will be the hybrid, both the QKD technology with quantum key distribution and encrypting the point-to-point connections. But this technology requires a lot of investment because you need dedicated equipment on both ends. And the second one is the post-quantum cryptography, which requires less investment, but you have to get your infrastructure ready to provide additional cryptography and new means to ensure that your data is safe.
Thank you. And a similar question for Stefan. As the CISO at CERN, what are you most concerned about right now, and how, in your professional capability, are you addressing it?
Well, we would completely digress from the subject if we're talking about what my concerns right now are. If you just look at computer centers, complexities of computer centers compared to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I got some hardware, some operating system application, which was very simple. Nowadays, computer engineers are very creative, and we have no hardware, a hypervisor, a virtual machine, a container inside, and then the application. So we added within 10 years two more layers, which I have to protect. I'm worried about IoT and some statements done yesterday where certain people said they cannot follow the update cycle of Kubernetes. Red Hat is doing permanent updates of the kernel. Microsoft is doing this once a month. If I buy control systems, if I buy industry rated equipment, this is all not being able to be patched as quickly as your smartphone over the night. This is where I'm worried. If you're now looking in the future for encryption, we had this in the past. Your password at the beginning was four letters, six letters, eight letters, no complexity. Why? Because computers were not powerful enough to break them. Now you have to have 50 letters and some complexity because computers are getting more powerful. The same with quantum. At a certain moment, we have to see whether our current asymmetric key or encryption protocols, which we got, we have to replace them. And we did in the past. DES replaced by 3DES or triple DES by AES. RSA got longer and longer and longer. And the same thing will happen now. We are prepared, and we've seen this in data centers, to change our encryption methods on the fly. SSL 1, 2, 3 is dead. Now it's TLS 1.0, no, 1.1, no, 1.4. So we're doing those transitions permanently. The same with ciphers for SSH. And for quantum, it's the same thing. NIST has published quantum robust protocols for encryption. One is for the Star Wars lovers, Rogue One, Crystal Kyber, which is the one of the protocols. So I expect at a certain moment,
a computer without your malware systems knowing it. So they are changing the code every time when the malicious software is being downloaded.
What can be done?
You can fight fire with fire only, so we have to adjust our systems as well. We have to implement AI systems. We have to train our systems pretty heavily. That's the only thing how we can move forward, because attackers will get smarter, will get more resources, and if on a daily basis the majority of us are now using the ChatGPT for different inquiries, so attackers have their own GPTs like WormGPT, which are tailored for malicious purposes, and that's the reality we have to live in.
That's a scary reality, the fact that we are all in the firing line. On perhaps a lighter note, I would like to ask Gianpaolo, I know that your background is in aerospace and you're now at the forefront of network security. And I was wondering, do these two topics have an overlap for you? And if so, what might that be?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I can talk hour about this. I will try to be a bit synthetic. A bit the history of quantum physics. This was developed in the early last century. And then in middle last century, we had the first innovations, you know, the semiconductors, the photovoltaic effect. And then the first inventions. Some of these were driven by Nokia Bell Labs, by the way. Like, for example, the transistor was invented in Nokia Bell Labs, or the solar panel. Now we are in a new phase of the quantum technology, because now we are able to control the single photon. So we are able to encode the information inside the spin or the polarization of the photon. We are able to read the state of the photon. So we can implement also through the law of the physics, of the quantum physics, like entanglement or superposition or non-cloning theorem, a lot of new innovation, in particular in the areas of communication, of sensing, and computing, for example, the statistical simulation that will be very important. Now, focusing a bit on non-terrestrial network, think about new sensors that we can put on top of satellite. For example, sensor on quantum sensor of the magnetic field. These are will be very useful to understand what is the real and the change of the magnetic field on the Earth, to understand the solar activity, so to understand how the solar activity is interfering with the communication on the ground. Sensor, quantum sensor of gravity will help us to understand the loss of ice, the level of water, and so to help us to make better forecast of the climate change. Other example, the quantum clocks will give more precise in timing that is critical for constellations that are giving us the position on the Earth, like GPS. Quantum communication, of which quantum key distribution is just the tip of the iceberg, will give us communication that are secure by definition, because based on the no-cloning theorem, it's not possible to be intercepted. But then we can go also beyond beyond the Earth, extraterrestrial network. We know that we are already working in the direction of the colonization of the moon, and very soon we will have a constellation of satellites around the moon for precise timing and position that will answer two questions: where I am on the moon, and second, that seems very funny, what time is on the moon? Because you don't know. So there will be this constellation that will give a single, a secure reference for the time on the moon. And this will be based again on quantum technology. Then quantum communication, where Nokia is working very hard. For example, we have now a mission to the moon. In a few months, a base station of Nokia will land on the south pole of the moon to implement mobile phone, 4G and then 5G, to test how this technology can be deployed on the moon. And then we can go also further. Mars, the satellite of Jupiter, and the exoplanet. In any way, on all the exploration that the humanity will do beyond the Earth, quantum technology will be used to support such type of exploration.
Fantastic. I do feel like that could be an entirely different additional sensor session, but I'm hearing keywords of additional sensors and satellites and IoT, and I can just feel that this is a more recipe for Stefan's frustration of more hardware, software to be patched, etc.
Well, I'm very interested in blue sky, so don't get me wrong. We got our own quantum institute with lots of universities worldwide, where the University of Latvia is part in investigating how we can use quantum technologies for analyzing big physics data, for example. And the data amount which we got, 1 exabyte, 1 million cores, which are doing the analysis worldwide, we have to see how we can optimize on that one. On an operational basis, again, I'm back to the principles. I believe that technological advantages, advancements, will be gradual over course of time, and obviously for me, non-proprietary. So I'm basing my hardware only on one vendor, on one protocol, which might be proprietary or not, that is definitely not the direction I want to go, because it needs to be intercompatible. The next thing is, I don't have the budget like some others might have to pull optical fibers between computer centers worldwide and having a dedicated infrastructure for quantum key exchange, because as you said, you need to control the endpoints and there must be nothing in between. So that means if I now communicate with 150 computer centers worldwide, how do I pull 150 fibers from my data center to the others, while the maximum distance at the moment is what, 400 kilometers? So we cannot even cross a country. At least yesterday we've seen that Finland cannot cross the country. So those are the operational struggles I'm coming in for this very moment. If you look at threat actors, I'm still worried about ransomware and computer centers. I got 170 computer centers worldwide managed by universities. They don't have a security team like we have or like you have, which I guess is a factor of 100 more than mine, and we have to guarantee the security there. And we see that something happening in a computer center somewhere in ABC is coming to us. And most often it is that we detect it on our side where the attackers try to infiltrate our system. We then go back where the connection comes from, and the end game is usually you reinstall your computer center at your end. And I'm talking about reinstallation of computer centers. So that is what I'm working on. Denial of service, yes, we are tested in denial of service again and again and again. I got some Twitter feeds where people just try us and then they run the denial of service against somebody else. So because we got a rather stable network, a rather big firewall, so they try to die the denial of service us and then they move ahead to some other thing. So, but we got contingencies in place for protecting against denial of service. So again here, coming back to original subject, network security, if this stays within the computer center, this is a physical parameter which I control. So I might not even have any encryption in my computer center if my physical protection is good enough and if I can guarantee that there is no third-party actor in my computer center siphoning off the data, which I never can guarantee. The next thing is risk analysis. I think we are not completely on par here, and I'm the little player here. Are nation states a risk adversary for me? No, they are not, because first, there are 26 European countries participating at CERN. There are 170 countries sending physicists, researchers, technicians, students to CERN, and we're not doing background checks. So if you want to go now on the nation level and infiltrate CERN, be my guest. We're welcoming you as researchers, but we cannot do better. It's a university, and in a university you cannot do background checks. So would I do the same thing when I'm in the bank? No, I would not. In the bank, psychological test, drug test, alcohol test, family problems, whatever you got. But I can't, so I have to adapt my risk scenario, my adversaries, to my computer centers.
Dimitri.
I would like to elaborate a bit on your statement that, I can keep my internal systems without the encryptions because I know that, that they are safe.
I'm not saying I'm doing. Huh?
yeah, I understand that. In any case, so the most frequent attack point and the weakest link within the organization usually is its employees. So basically, it's easier to get access to the systems through employees who are not trained properly, who just click on the link, download something or what. And we know that we can train our employees to be aware of those threats, but those are not 100% measures. So. Encryption should be there, and for the future, encryption will change. Most probably, we will introduce new post-quantum cryptography algorithms, which are already certified, and some larger companies are using them. However, there is one small concern, at least at my side, on those algorithms. Those algorithms are based on our assumptions what technology will be at attacker's disposal. So basically, we think that the quantum computers which attackers will get held on will be so powerful, they will be able to calculate at such speed and so on and so forth. And still, the quantum field has so many unknowns that the situation might be completely different in 5 years, and we will have to switch or swap those algorithms, find new ones to upgrade existing ones because they are not working. So at the moment, the algorithms which we are considering to be safe against the quantum computers might not be so in 4 or 5 years' time. So that's the endless process of upgrading our systems.
But this is the unknown unknowns. In principle, you cannot protect against the unknown unknowns. So just hypothetically, everything can happen. Does not help me in putting my defenses up. So I'm defending, like mentioned before, defense in depth. I'm defending on the network layer. I'm defending on the hardware system. I'm defending on the hypervisors. I less control virtual machines and containers. What you're saying, lots of employees, you do background checks and you train them. I can't. I got researchers, I got physicists, I got students who are hopping in between different computer centers. This is a come and go of 20,000 people a year, which are just coming in and out. So I'm even training them once. Next year, I have to do the same training for those people. So I have to adapt a certain level of risk. And that means in the computer center, I have to accept that the endpoints are already infected. And this is what we use in our intrusion detection system. We're monitoring exactly with this, using artificial intelligence to see whether we can abnormal behavior of virtual machines, of containers, of users, of how they run their analysis, whether they're doing a physics analysis or whether they're doing cryptocurrency mining. The patterns are completely different. One we tolerate, the others for obvious reasons we do not. So this is where we then intervene.
I think that the takeaway that we're seeing over the course of this panel is that the fight for safety is happening on many different fronts, and that the job of the cybersecurity specialist or information security officer is more complex than it ever has been, particularly as you're fighting the unknown future as well. But we have now time to open up the room to questions, and I see that there is one question already on this side.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we will put up a QR code, by the way, where you can evaluate this discussion and put a score next to our talk before we switch to questions. But yes, sir. Good morning. Hello. What's your name?
Hello. I'm Janis Irbe, representing Ministry of Smart Administration and Regional Development, and but I have some other hats too regarding security. My question is, actually the risk mitigation practices like various types of protection or actually lack of it is not the source of the problem. The problem is malicious intent by attacker having some, you know, some goals, political goals, maybe financial goals, other. So can we use some kind of technology to identify them? Because I think the problem is that we cannot see nowadays where the large attacks come from. They are so well hidden and somebody is pulling the strings, but we don't know exactly from where. And could quantum technology help us with that? How should we change the internet protocol to like clearly identify who is the pulling the strings? That's my question. And then the next step would be like reforming United Nations so they can really act against those countries where attacks come from. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Do we have anyone who wants to answer about can we detect malicious intent?
Well, detecting the original intruder requires a lot of resources. As you said, they try to cover their tracks as much as they can. So usually it's a huge labyrinth where you can just walk around like for months. I know that the huge technology companies like Microsoft, they are keeping the huge departments which are following closely the malicious actors and monitoring them, so they have means to discover those. As for us, for the smaller companies, we have some signatures from the large vendors, which indicate that might be the malicious intent, and of course we have to assume that. Every situation might be an attack on our infrastructure and defend against everything which is malicious.
Gianpaolo, I think, do you also have something to add?
Yeah, let's say that discover who is making a threat is very difficult also because we know that there are the dark web component that is not giving us a simple way to discover, and when someone is discovered, they can find another way to put the attack. What we are notice on the market and our development is based on what market is demanding, is to defend rather than to try to understand who is the attacker. So we are focusing on this and what I described before, quantum and DDoS mitigation are two examples.
And Stefan also had something to add.
Yeah, I got. Maybe I'll start with the second question first. Is quantum a solution? We have to take care of it. I'm not creative enough, and I'm not expert in this field enough to give you that answer. But I see it again and again and again. There is a new hype coming on. Quantum is definitely something which might have its merits in the future. But we shouldn't see it as the hammer for every nail we'll see. It's the same with large language models. I see people now trying to figure out where the toilet is, just asking ChatGPT why just looking at the plan is easier. What is 2 plus 2 ChatGPT? How much CO2 do you burn with applications which you can solve differently? So we should really take care what we do. And for the other thing, figuring out where your adversaries are, if you do not do with dedicated, sophisticated security vendors research what your adversaries are, then I would more plea to nations. To me, it is a pain if I follow up across borders adversaries. So I see at University of ABC in another country has been compromised. I can go under the radar and talk directly to the computer center managers, and we can get it solved. But if you start talking to law enforcement, then it's getting delays, and you got an asymmetry there, which is enormous. Just an inquiry to another country via my host state to another country, this might take weeks, months, if not even years. And then you're completely screwed because the adversaries are gone, they changed name, they are now sitting somewhere else. So I think we need to collaborate on that level much, much more. But for whatever reason, we discussed this yesterday a little bit, we're all saying public partner, cooperation, and then somebody said trust. And when trust comes in, nobody trusts nobody anymore, and then you do not have communication. So I think this is where we start working more on, and I think at the moment we're failing.
We have an interesting question online that is a little bit about emissions. Oscar is sending in this question. Encryption comes at the cost of additional computational resource consumption, which consumes more energy. So it feels that protection by encryption comes in conflict with sustainability targets. Where should we draw the line?
That's a great question. I wonder if anyone has an answer to that.
I would say that the increase of computation power for encryption is really negligible compared, for example, with the data with the power consumption of a data center. So I believe that this is really not a problem.
Overall, the consumption of data centers and how we can make them more green is a problem for the future, which we have to address, how we are using the green electricity sources and so on. Because at the moment, data centers consume like 5 or 6% of the world's electricity. By 2030, it will be around 13-14. With the new AI developments, we see that we need more power more and more data centers are being built. So it's up to the data center providers to watch out for this trends and make their data centers more green. For example, we are now building the next data center for ourselves, and our priority is to make it as green as possible. So we are giving away the produced heat to heat the water for the Salaspils city in Latvia. We are using the green electricity. We are not using the classical diesel fuel anymore. We use green fuel for our diesel generators and so on. So.
Yeah, I'm smiling a little bit. So yes, PoE is interesting, and coming down to one is maybe the way to go. But honestly, this discussion is gone. This discussion is gone with AI and large language models. If you're still interested in CO2 efficiency of computer centers, maybe you should think of whole technologies and just stop them, because training large language models are consuming so much power. You mentioned this. Now we are 5, we're going up to 13 in 5 years. What the fuck? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have used that word, but this is going in the completely wrong direction, which doesn't mean we should deviate the question. So for encryption, of course, this is taking a part of more compute power. I'm usually asking questions to my guys. Your data, if I give this data to a journalist, will he publish? Will he create reputational damage to us? Or I give it to an adversary, will he destroy us? If the answer is no and no, maybe that data is not as confidential as people believe. I understood your examples. There are a certain amount of data which is confidential. But sometimes we also exaggerate, and we think it's very, very important. But I've seen meeting minutes where people think, oh, that's highly confidential. And then you read the meeting minutes and you say, look here, the only guy who might be pissed off is me. And apart from this, this is not really confidential. So I think there we should also reflect again about what do we need to protect and not. This is what I'm looking always in, because the less I have to protect, the easier my job goes. Without saying that I don't have anything to protect, I do this properly, but I also move the things away which are not really worth the protecting out of my scope.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And this is a great note to end on, and I want to thank all of our panelists for your very candid and open responses. So thank you, and join me in thanking our panelists.
And thank you to Julie as well for the excellent moderation.